Network. I'm John Munson. 60% or more of Wisconsin voters approved a ballot measure in 23 counties, cities, and villages encouraging lawmakers to close the so-called dark store loophole. We talked to the executive director of the League of Wisconsin Municipalities to get their reaction to the results and consider what might be ahead for this in the state. Was there a dark store referendum on your election ballot? What did the results look like in your community? How was it talked about in your community before the vote? Or was it? If you didn't get a chance to vote on a referendum question on dark stores, what do you want lawmakers to do? Or are you happy with things as they are and don't want any changes? Let us know at 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Ideas@WPR.org is the email address. You can also tweet us at WPR Mornings. Jerry DeShane is the executive director of the League of Wisconsin Municipalities and the Urban Alliance. Jerry, welcome to the morning show.
Oh, good morning, John. Thank you for having me.
First, for those who may not have seen this on their ballot, what is a dark store?
It refers to a tax strategy that actually it's a little bit of a misnomer. The store itself isn't dark. It's not vacant, but the store owner is claiming that for property tax purposes, the value of that store is nothing more than what a dark, vacant, boarded up store would be worth.
And the loophole there would be that the property is taxed as if it were a dark store, that it wasn't occupied, and that's the rub. Am I getting that right?
That's exactly it. I mean, imagine, apply it to your own home. Imagine if you could argue that your nice little three-bedroom bungalow is worth no more than an abandoned foreclosed property in the middle of a bad part of town. And that is almost exactly what we're arguing here.
We know the majority of Wisconsin voters who had a dark store referendum question on the ballot said they want lawmakers to close the loophole. So what do you hope these results will say to lawmakers?
We hope that they'll say, get it done. This bill was introduced in the last legislative session. There was, frankly, a majority of the legislature were co-sponsors of the bills. We just could not get them scheduled for an actual vote. They had public hearings. They went through all of the process. So what we're hoping these referenda with their, according to our numbers, 4-1 support for this will say to both Governor-elect Evers and the Wisconsin legislature is, look, people see through this. It's a common sense fairness question. Let's just get it taken care of. Let's get it closed.
Jerry DeShane is the executive director of the League of Wisconsin Municipalities and the Urban Alliance. We're talking about the dark store loophole and the results of various advisory referenda in a number of municipalities around the state of Wisconsin. Voters who had a chance to vote on this urging the legislature to close the loophole. Jerry, you talked about the fact that there was bipartisan support for legislation. There were hearings held. It looked like a majority was in favor of it. So why wasn't a vote scheduled? Where was the roadblock here?
The leadership of the legislature felt that, for whatever reasons, that this bill should not come up for a vote. I should say these bills. There are two bills. Even though we had over 84 co-sponsors of one of the bills and 61 co-sponsors of the other bill, you know, when you look at from the property owner's perspective, this is a pretty good deal. So there were a lot of business property owners that were pushing leadership not to put these things up for a vote.
800-642-1234. If you had a dark store loophole on your referendum ballot, did you support it? And if you didn't get a chance to vote on this, if there was no referendum in your area, would you also urge the legislature to support this? Or do you think that closing this so-called loophole would be unfair to businesses? Either way, let us know what you think. 800-642-1234. Is there anything that local governments can do? Does this require legislation? Can local governments do some things that would also impact this?
Well, unfortunately, the answer there, John, is no. Tax law is written by the state legislature in one of the two bills is actually trying to correct a court case. It's called the Walgreens versus City of Madison case, and that affects big box retailers that are leased rather than owned. Sorry about that. It's early in the morning.
I hear you.
And in the other case, the practical problem for local government, sure, they could take this to court, but in most cases, for an individual city or village to challenge this, it will end up costing more than they collect in taxes. So it's a losing game for these to be fought one at a time, you know, here and there throughout Wisconsin. And the way tax law is designed in Wisconsin, it's designed to be written by the state legislature. So that's really where it has to happen.
Let's take a call. Kyle is with us in Fenimore. Kyle, good morning, Kyle. Welcome to the morning show.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Go ahead.
Well, I don't have a question, I guess, just a comment. I wanted to say that I'm in favor of closing the dark store loophole, but I had to read and reread that question on the ballot several times to figure out which way I wanted to vote.
Kyle,
worded poorly, I guess.
Okay, Kyle, thanks for that, because I did. That is something that we that has come up as this story has been reported, because these referenda were not all uniform. There were some places where people were struggling to figure out exactly what they were voting on. Jerry, what was the problem here?
The problem is it's tax law, and I can sympathize with Kyle. The cities and villages and counties, and there were 23 of them that put this on the ballot, there were a number of different attempts at the language. And the fundamental challenge is, how do you make it simple enough to explain in a ballot question without going the other way and oversimplifying it? There are some critics of the language who said that the question was oversimplified. So I do apologize to Kyle. It was a heck of a challenge. This issue is easier to explain in conversation than it is to actually read on a piece of paper. You can very quickly get lost in the weeds when it comes to property tax law.
Yeah, and that's why we have a lot of lawyers, I guess. Let's take another call. Michael joins us in Green Bay. Michael, good morning. Welcome to the morning show.
Hi, good morning. So I just have a quick comment here. I get that it's not quite a tax break, but any business that can't survive paying its full share of taxes and dues to society really isn't viable. And, you know, it's the capitalistic system that we've chosen to live in. So it's just my opinion for today.
All right. Michael, thanks for that. Michael says, hey, if you can't afford to pay your taxes, you shouldn't be in business in the first place.
Are you waiting for me to agree with Michael or disagree with Michael?
You can. That's up to you.
Well, and Michael raises an important point. Big retailers, people may not realize or appreciate that when it comes to city services, police, fire, ambulance, they're frequent users. They're frequent callers. Some of these biggest retailers in communities will have multiple calls in a given day. You know, contrast that with your own house, where, God willing, you won't have a police call for your entire life. It just, they're part of the community. In most cases, they're a welcome part of the community, but they do need to carry their fair share of the load.
Well, not everyone in the state agrees with you. Some say that local government shouldn't be assessing a property's value based on business income. What do you say to that?
They're absolutely right, and we're not.
Okay, how are you not then?
Well, see, and that's one of the red herrings, if you will, that the opposition puts up about this. You're taxing the value of the building, and the value of the building is driven by its location. Is it in a popular location? Is it well trafficked? There are a lot going on in that particular neighborhood, or is it? And frankly, there's a reason why some of these stores go dark. It's because the proprietor realizes that's no longer the best place for them to be. And location, 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 right? That's how real estate value is determined. What's going on inside the building is really not much more than an indication that that's in a popular location or it's not. No, we're not taxing the business. We're taxing the building.
So what are you watching for as you move forward here? Are you hoping that you'll be able to get another bill in the legislature after the new year, or what's going on here?
Well, there's a new player in the equation. So the next step in the process is to talk to Governor-elect Evers. During the campaign, the Governor-elect came out and said, quite in black and white terms, he would introduce legislation to plug these loopholes. So we're going to sit down with him. We'll sit down with his new Department of Revenue leadership, and that'll be our next step. Then, of course, we go back to the legislature and try to make the argument again. This time we've got the evidence of 800,000 Wisconsin voters saying, yes, plug these loopholes. So back at it again.
Let's sneak in a quick call here from John in Appleton as we close this segment. John, go ahead. You're on the air. Be quick.
Yeah, hi. I wanted to ask the speaker, how would you tax two stores that are built exactly the same right next to each other? One is very successful. One is not successful at all. Would you tax the successful one more? I mean, how do you develop the tax for this loophole implementation?
Okay. We got it. We've got it. Less than a minute left.
Very simple. If you have two identical buildings in essentially the same area, the same block, excuse me, it's early in the morning, you would tax those buildings the same. It's the building. It's not the business.
Okay. John, thanks. Thanks for sharing that. And Jerry DeShane, thank you so much for being with us and giving us a little insight into the issue of the dark store loophole. Appreciate your time this morning.
Glad to be here. Thanks very much.
Jerry DeShane is the executive director of the League of Wisconsin Municipalities and the Urban Alliance. He joined us in our Madison studios. Coming up next, we'll talk about a proposal at the University of Wisconsin Stevens Point this week that would cut six humanities majors and change the school into one that mixes liberal arts into career-minded majors. We'll find out what you think about that in a little bit. I'm John Munson. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.